Okay, welcome to the second meeting of this design group. I'll briefly go through the notes of the last meeting. Just done in note form, and I haven't attributed anything to individuals because we're working strictly as a team here. And everybody's working equally, so we saw that the problems with existing remote controls were the a boring shape and boring colour, and we saw that the what we needed to do was to make sure that the device controlled several items, that switching was easy, that you shouldn't need to point the thing at anything in particular. That it needed to be contoured to make it interesting, that the keys might be concave, simply because that hasn't been done before that we know of. Sort of interchangeable fascias so people can personalise it, illuminated so that people can see it in dark rooms, and that people might want it as in addition to their existing remote controls. And that it should just always work whenever you use it, and that it shouldn't be too small, that it gets lost. I'll shortly ask for three presentations. Before I do that, however, I will go through some new project requirements that, that the management have placed on us and will be challenging in terms of what we discussed at the first meeting. The management has had its own thoughts on this, and they don't necessarily agree with what we thought. And then we'll, as a result of that, we will then talk through the functions that we see the device actually carrying out. And we have 40 minutes to do this in. And I anyway. Okay. Now, the new requirements are. The management team see that teletext is no longer of any importance given the rise of the internet, and they want it only to cover televisions. Now, what is not quite clear from their directive is whether they mean they don't want it to cover teletext, or whether they don't want it to cover videos, DVDs, satellite boxes, which I mean, we saw as being fundamental to the exercise. The actual wording of the directive is that it should cover television only, and on that basis, I think we need to bear that in mind, but possibly keep at the backs of our minds the reality that people, even with it. No longer, they don't look at teletext anymore, they certainly do look at other things. The device has to incorporate the company logo and colours. The logo being at the bottom of the screen there, the two R's in grey against a yellow background. Now this doesn't necessarily mean that we have to give up some of our ideas about making it attractive to the market. But do introduce some constraints as to how we might do that. It also has to be simple, which to some extent goes along with the first one, and that we've already said that it must be simple because that's what people want anyway. But they also want it to be simple to get it to the market quickly, which is their choice, but. We need to talk that through. Okay, so after the meeting, it'll be summarised and the notes sent out and etc. Okay, so we'll first of all have individual reports from everybody. Again, there is no order of precedence here. So I'll leave it up to you to who thinks they would like to go first.
I don't mind. In reverse.
Right.
And can I steal the cable?
Oh, sorry, you can indeed.
Cheers. How do I start there?
Oh, if you click on the one that looks like a projection screen, that'll go on to the right of that.
That one.
That one.
Cool. Well, these are the function manager requirements from our guys down in the research lab. 200 people covered all the aspects of what is needed by people and what they want to see. Everything kind of from functionality and how individual functions are, how often they're used and how much they're necessary and stuff, and general opinions about current remotes. I see that, as we kind of noticed, 75% of people find the remote controls ugly. So some kind of new style should be incorporated. Is it less ugly? Along with looking less ugly, it looks better. 80% of people said they'd spend more money on it, which is a plus for us. If we can make it look better, be more cost effective, if we can put the price up. Current remote controls do not match the operating behaviour of the user. I can take that to mean as they only work for the television, or like as in my flat I've got 6 remote controls for a stereo system, a digital box, a DVD player, a video player, a TV. If it was my behaviour is I use multiple things at the same time, and multiple remotes aren't really matched well to my behaviour. Again, 75% of users say they use Zap a lot, and it took to mean that they use it regularly, rather than standing up and manually change channels or volume settings. And I think a big issue is 50% of users only use 10% of the buttons, because if we've got remote that, like, well, we'll have some buttons taken off by the lack of teletext, but. Oh, we'll go and see some of the functions like audio settings aren't hardly ever used and aren't considered relevant by the user. So like maybe fewer buttons, which also make the design look sleeker as well. Frustrations of like people losing remote control. Well, there may be some kind of system of you press a button on the TV, or maybe that's would have to incorporate too, but like some kind of system where you can use something else to find the remote control. Maybe like it'll beep or something. And time taken to learn new remote controls is, like, we don't want to make it too complicated, easy to use for new, like first time users and stuff. And repetitive strain injury. suppose, just make it more comfortable. Make possibly even use have to make it, fewer buttons. Like I was thinking about the whole mouse idea of it feels more comfortable. Maybe don't even have to hold it as such.
Well, there must be some telly addicts out there if they get RSI from their television remote, is all I can say.
But yeah. It also asked if people would pay more for speech recognition, and younger people say they would. And there was another section on the report for LCD displays, but the data wasn't there, so
right.
Didn't actually know what the results were for that work. So maybe incorporate into the later meeting. But yeah.
I must say that I can't remember what phone service I was using the other day, but that had sort of speech recognition, which worked remarkably well. So that is indeed a.
I
thought, and it cuts out
the. It would cut out the RSI.
I was just going to
well.
Say, you can't get a lot of RSI, you just get a jawache. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So possibly the speech recognition is possibly something good to add into the design. Well, I've got some of the things I couldn't fit onto this presentation. See, that's okay. No.
Sorry, it's a bit of thing I'll read out to you. Functionality. Like people's opinions on functionality, the relevance to the remote, and how often they're used. So, like the power using the power switch on TV is high relevance of 9, but it's not frequently used. You see what I mean? Whereas channel selection, which is very high relevance, is used the most. So we could maybe even start to cut down on. Or I was possibly thinking of. A design that maybe some of the buttons are hidden from everyday use, maybe like a folding lid or something, so that we can maybe go into the channel settings and the audio settings, which are low relevance and rarely used, and keep the volume selection and channel selection very easily.
It could
I
mean
be.
Oh, I was just gonna say maybe like the flip phones that they use. Have you seen the new mobile phones that flip out and they have the like texting and then the numbers on one side? So you could have the most used buttons on top and
flip it. It slides back in the box.
Yeah.
Should we actually bite the bullet here? If people really don't use those buttons to any extent at all,
just remove them
altogether.
That might be
We could actually have a remote control with I wonder whether we could get a remote control with no buttons at all if we went for voice recognition. Given that the age structure we were looking at. We had usage by age structure. What we didn't have was what proportion of people using remotes were in those particular age groups. Do we know whether the 45 to 55 age group, to put myself right in the middle of it, use remote controls to a great extent? Yes, we.
And this for paying more for speech recognition.
Right. So we're looking at, we don't know the relative proportion, the relative numbers in the age groups.
Yeah, that's true.
If we wanted something different, truly different, then the buttonless remote control.
Well, the only problem I can think of with that is if you've got a lot of people that don't want to be bothered learning how to use new remote controls, if you just kind of take away everything that they're used to knowing, that's going to be quite a change.
But if you just lift it up and say Channel 1 or BBC.
You could even just have it left on. You could just put it down once on top of your TV and never have to.
Yeah, have it be kind of like the satellite box or the cable box and have it just go on the TV and then it doesn't matter where in the room you are. You won't lose it.
I can see technical problems with that in terms of the sound from the television, because if somebody actually on the television says ITV and you're watching BBC, then it might change itself. So it probably needs to be possibly actually need a button on it just to activate it, or something just to identify that you've lifted it up and it's use. and then just say, I don't know a thought. And then, I mean, that would certainly be truly different. Because, you know, audio settings, 0.8%. I mean, if they weren't there, would people miss them?
But look at the importance of them, the volume settings.
Relevance of 2 out of 10, yeah.
Volume, yes.
They're not used often, but they are quite important when they're used.
We need to identify things that people actually need, and it's a function of frequency and relevance. And I would say ignoring power for the moment. The channel and volume, and given that we've been told to ignore teletext, channel and volume are the only ones that would appear to be essential. So if we can design something that looks interesting, you know, or looks different, incorporates the logo and then the colours, and we can still have our interchangeable fascias, even if there's the yellow and grey. Are there no buttons or buttons as an option?
I just had a thought, actually, sorry to interrupt.
Do, please.
You were saying about good technical problems of, like, someone on the television saying a channel number and it changed. We can maybe have, like, an activation word. I've seen some computers before where you address the remote, you address the computer, and then...
It depends whether... if you want to make this so simple that anybody can walk into the room and lift it up and say,
that's
BBC One. I mean, you could print it on the device itself.
I mean, I'm just thinking of the point of view of people, you could still lose this remote.
That's always going to be a problem, I think. I suppose one, you make it so desirable that if people lose it, they immediately go out and buy another one. Anyway, sorry, carry on. Want to just carry on with?
Oh, no, I dropped you. So.
No, I was in the middle of in the middle of your report there.
Well, I was just kind of wrapping up here. Yeah, I was thinking, if you search things that are relevant, you can make things much more. I think the 80% of people would spend more on a remote that looks better, combined with decrease the or take out the limited functions that we don't really use much. Well, we already take it to teletext, but as in channel settings and stuff, it might turn some people that want the whole functionality away. But since if we're marketing on more kind of fashionable approach, then it would be fashion over practicality.
Because we can make it dual function, you know, voice recognition and still have buttons on it.
We could even have it as like, the buttons control this and the voice functions control the things that you would do all the time. So
certainly could.
So we could power on and channel selection and the volume selection. We don't have to really...
Yeah, I mean, the advantage of doing away with the buttons altogether is it makes the thing cheaper.
And probably it would look better as well.
It certainly opens up the possibility for making it visually very distinctive. Because it does not have to be an oblong box.
Lined with numbered buttons.
Yeah. Okay, have you finished there?
Yeah,
given that we've already had an extensive discussion.
I can do mine.
Got that, Kim?
Yeah, let's see if I can make this work. Oh, you have to hit like function and F something.
Oh.
F8.
F8.
Give it about 20 seconds or so.
Okay.
Oh,
okay. Okay, so this is just about the technical functions.
Right.
So the method I looked online for examples of other similar products, and then just kind of was trying to brainstorm some possible design ideas and identify what the necessary things are, what you really want to have a remote control do. And then there are two different kinds that I found. There's a user-centered one and an engineering-centered one, which I will have pictures of, and then we kind of have to decide which one this should be. So these are the two different ones. This one, this is the user-centered. It has quite a few fewer buttons. And then this is the engineering-centered, which has a lot more buttons. And probably this is one that people complain about having too many buttons that you don't use. So basically, what a remote control is you. It's to send messages to the television set, you know, turn on, off, switch the channels and the volume and things such as that. And so for this product, it's going to be television only, and then it has to have the logos for the company and the colors. And so for my personal preferences, I think this one is easier to use. It has quite a, you know, fewer buttons. We want something that sends messages easily to the television, and I was kind of wondering about this example that they have. It looks kind of narrow at the top, and I was thinking maybe if it were wider at the top, then that would be easier. And so we have to decide what's going to make our product different, the unique style, maybe have it light up so it's visible in the dark, the changeable faceplates, and the lighting up invisible. When we were talking about losing it, maybe to have a button on the television that you press, and it, maybe if it makes a noise or lights up or something like that, so it's easier to find if someone has it hidden under the couch or something like that. So that's my presentation. Yeah.
Okay. Can I? I'm actually going to use the. It's going to cause great technical problems over here. I'm actually going to use the.
They probably clip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're not connected to any of the table. You just leave them on and walk around with them, rather
than the traditional. In fact, I won't even go that far. Something like this shape, you know, sort of something that you can, sort of a more vertical shape that you can sort of hold in your hand, well, I'm trying to think, such as, I mean, something you hold up like that, possibly with a couple of buttons like that, but with the entire top, with the, you know, the infrared or whatever source, so that, you know, it's flying off in all directions, so that again, the need to look at the technicalities of actually achieving that in terms of whether the, you know, the power requirements of the such a source, you know, compromise the our need for you know, it being permanently, you know, available. Whether different technology. I mean, all these remotes are presumably infrared, like they have been for a long time. We possibly need to be looking at something different. You know, short range, not like the old radio remote controls where you change next door's telly when you change yours. I think basically, if we're going for, if minimum number of buttons is our priority, then we should, as I say, really bite the bullet and reduce the buttons to absolute minimum, possibly with backup. channel and volume buttons and on off, and nothing else. So that it could almost end up like that. But again, except that you know, the risk of losing it. Anyway, okay. So Kate, what are your or thoughts on this?
Which one does this plug into? Could you see it on your screen?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of...
That's not cool.
Dwayne.
Oh, well. Anyways. So I'll just do my presentation on the working design. The whole method of how the remote control works. The basic function of the remote control is to send messages to another system, the TV or the DVD player or whatever. It does this you need to start off with an energy source. And this energy source will feed into an integrated circuit chip. And the circuit chip is the part that actually composes the different messages within the remote, which will then be sent to the television, the DVD, to tell that what to do. And you need a user interface which controls the chip and thus the messages. And the user interface is that's basically just the design of the actual remote, what you'll hold in hands and what buttons will be on it. Just general findings. What we need, technically speaking, for the remote control is some sort of energy source. Some sort of user interface, which I think we've mostly been talking about the user interface and the design of that. A circuit chip within that to control and send the messages, and a sender and receiver. It's just sort of a little schematic diagram of what we're looking for. This just kind of represents the energy source, which feeds into the circuit chip. Which maybe then we could have that feed into a switch, which would send signals to a subcomponent and onto a light bulb, which will light up once you start pressing buttons. Also send signals to the infrared bulb, which will be the part that actually sends signals to the television, and then you've got your happy little TV watcher there. So my personal preferences, I just think we need sort of a big energy source that won't die out, perhaps some sort of rechargeable battery or a battery dock you could place it in so it would constantly be charged, so you wouldn't have to be worrying about it running out of batteries and not changing channels for you. A wide range of sender-receiver so that you can hit the buttons from basically anywhere in the room and the channel will still be changed. Also definitely a user-friendly interface. And I think we've all sort of mentioned adding a locating device on it, so when it does get stuck under the couch cushions, as they inevitably do, you can find them easily. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. It seems to me there are a number of fundamental decisions to make before we... I think your point about the big energy source is a very valid one. I don't suppose we've got any statistics on the life expectancy of remote controls, particularly sort of independent ones. Given the number of things you buy these days, which have a lithium whatever battery in that never needs replacing, perhaps we should have the disposable remote control on sort of typical usage. The battery will last 5-10 years, by which time, when all's said and done, digital television will be taken over in that time scale. Perhaps we should reduce the sort of the moving parts even more by not even having a battery compartment and
Just having one that's guaranteed to last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and if anybody manages to run it down, we'll give them a new one. It's what it saves in cost, and you know, there's a, well, as a marketing gimmick. I mean, it's hardly a gimmick. It's totally practical. So I think you know, the idea of a rechargeable one is, unless you get really high tech and it sort of just recharges itself if it's by, you know, magnetic waves or whatever.
Have like a, in like cordless form, it's like, like a base that sets there.
Are people really going to use it though?
Think that people might forget. People forget to put their cordless phones back on there.
I mean, I know that sometimes my wife goes out in the morning and says, "Oh, I should have put the phone on to charge," and she's had those for so long that she hasn't worked that out by now.
I only remember to charge my cell phone when battery dies.
when it's died is the problem.
When it turns itself off, that's when I plug it in.
Quite. So. What do we think about the permanent battery?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
That's pretty good.
We are really going for the ultimate in sort of external simplicity here. Cut costs in the manufacturing, and if you have a higher tech interior, then that may well be cost effective.
Do they make batteries that last that long?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but there are certainly things that you buy. I mean, calculators, for example.
They usually have a little light source.
The
little cells that.
Some do. But there are battery ones that sort of permanently sealed, and in fact, are.
Most of them don't. They have sort of a combination of the two. Like when there is light, they'll work off the light, and then if there isn't, they'll kick into this battery. So we can maybe do something like that, whereas there is a battery, but if there's enough light, then it's using the light, so it's not actually draining the battery all the time, but you will have the battery there.
This needs going into the technology a bit. I mean, the actual time that a remote control is actually operating, I would think, is probably no more than a minute in its entire life.
If
people are getting RSI from it,
then they're clicking a lot.
Perhaps we're looking at the wrong market.
Market research thing says number of times per hour that's used. Channel selection 168 times per hour.
Right.
Per hour? Wow, that's a lot.
I've missed that. That does sound excessive.
But then again, if you think of the amount of use, it's less than a second.
Well, that's right. And I don't even know whether the signal lasts as long as you actually keep the button pressed, or whether it's just a sort of tenth of a second, no matter how long you press it for. I don't actually know.
I think with digital TV, like I know on my cable box, you're not supposed to do that because the channel can't keep up with it if you just press it like that. So you're supposed to use the menu and go through the different channels that way instead of.
Right, so I've got a message that says 5 minutes. I don't know how long ago that appeared. We're getting. So I need to sum up very quickly here. We're looking at extreme simplicity, radically different shape, possibly no buttons at all. But if you can incorporate channel change and volume buttons into the design, then that's fine. The role of the user interface designer becomes more important here, because shape is no longer a serious constraint. But we clearly only need the main buttons, or clearly only need the main functions. I don't see why we shouldn't go for voice recognition. And the only buttons that I think we need are channel control, volume control, and on-off. It needs to incorporate the corporate logo, the grey and yellow colour scheme, and there's no reason why we can't introduce interchangeable covers. So does that accurately summarise what we've discussed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. So.
I just have one question. Yeah. So are we doing just the television, or are we doing...
We are doing just the television.
So not DVD?
No.
Okay.
I think that's quite clear from the information that we've been given there.
Okay.
Yeah, like in the email for television only. In fact, that's the one. In the constraints email that I got.
Right.
Did you mention the teletext? Just television.
Yeah, well, that's one I sent you, which was my interpretation of what came down from head office. That's their view.
Okay.
So we can all give some thought to that for the next meeting. Thank you very much indeed. Well, time to go quickly when you're enjoying yourself.